Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and a production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Few experiences can spark interest in the world like opening your home and becoming a host family for an international student. Being a host family for these students can be a unique, rewarding, fun, and educational experience for all members of the family, while creating an opportunity for long-lasting relationships. Families experience and meet new friends from other parts of the world and are afforded opportunities to learn about interesting differences in languages, cultures, and more. Students come here in hopes of improving their English skills, and while here, host families become the students' home away from home. Today we'll be talking about the EF, or Education First, Educational Homestay Programs. My guests for today's discussion are Rochelle Boulay Sutton, Atascadero International Site Director for the EF Education Homestay Programs, and Health Education Heather Young, who is the Atascadero International Program Leader. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion with your comments and questions. And you can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. A number again is 781-3875. And Rochelle and Heather, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So I have not heard about this particular program, and I'm pretty excited to learn a lot more about it. Before we move in, I want to know how you, as individuals, got involved in the program. So I'll start with you, Heather.
So I started 7 years ago as a host family. I'm a single mom, and my daughter was 18 months old. And I thought about hosting a year-long exchange student. I myself was an exchange student when I was 18 years old. And so I really value that, both for the student coming from abroad, what they learn as a foreign exchange student, and also for my daughter to have another sibling from around the world. But a year was just too long. And so when a friend of mine was working for the Atascadero program, asked me to host, it took me a little while. I thought, oh, maybe. And then finally I said yes, and I haven't stopped hosting since. So my daughter is 18 months, and now she's 8 and a half, and she loves it. I started hosting one female course leader, and then it became two girls in the summer, different programs, and then it became two girls at a time twice in the summer, and so it just keeps growing, and it's great. My daughter loves it. She has fun playing games with them, reading to them. When she was younger, they would read to her, and as a single mom, it was really great when we would go to the park and they would play with her on the playground.
Uh-huh. So you kind of had a built-in au pair as well.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they would volunteer to go, oh, we'll go take her to the playground, or we'll do the dishes while you sit and not do the dishes. Yeah. So it was a really nice, experience. And now it's, now that I'm older, I feel more like their mother, but it's still fun. We have a really good time.
Where did you go? What country did you go to as a student?
Well, I went to Russia for 1 month when I was 16, and mm-hmm. then I went to Russia again for 5 months when I was 18. And when I was in between the two, we hosted a Russian student for 5 months.
Did your family have a Russian background, or it's an interesting country to choose?
It is, and I didn't really choose it. My high school offered through the local college. I grew up in Kansas, so the local college had this program for high school students to go for a month for an education. So we didn't do much language, but we did a lot of culture education, stayed with host families. So very similar to what these students are doing, just minus the language. So I stayed with a host family, and I had a lot of interesting experiences as a 16-year-old in Russia and their food. But so that's kind of what sparked it, was that 1 month trip to Russia sparked me wanting to go back, and I can now speak Russian, understand Russian, which our students who just left learned when they would say things and I would turn around and
respond in Russian.
Well, not always in Russian. My speaking is rusty, but I can understand a whole lot more than they wish I did.
And where have the students come from that you've hosted?
China, Japan with a, not with EF, but another program. Austria, Germany, Slovakia, France, Italy, Finland, Sweden. I think that's it.
What a wonderful world for your daughter.
Oh, she loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the child games from those countries are so wonderfully unique, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And she loves getting the candies and the sweets.
Ah, well, who wouldn't, right? And Rochelle, how about for you? How did you get involved in this program?
So similar. About 4 years ago, a friend asked if I would host, and we said no. repeatedly, and then finally broke down and said, okay, fine, we'll do it, but it, only because it's just a few weeks over the summer, and we can handle a few weeks. Both my husband and I work full-time, and we have two kids of our own, and it's a lot, and we have a pretty small house. So we said yes to one from Germany, and then I believe it was a week later, it became two. And so we said, okay, that's okay. We can do this. It's only a few weeks. And it turned out to be probably one of the best summers we've ever had. And we still talk with our German student almost weekly, which is probably weird and too much, but we love them. And it's been great ever since. We've had 14 students now over the past 4 years. Which it's always been a whirlwind, but we love it, and my kids love it. They get excited every summer of who's our students? Where are we going to pick from this year? And they love them. They play games. I mean, even now, they have no concept of personal space, so they're right there in the morning when they wake up, and right there in their bed when they're trying to go to sleep. I'm like, you just got to give them a little bit of space.
And how old are your kids, Rochelle?
My kids are now 6 and 10. And so they love
it. So starting when they were two. So you had a toddler in the house.
A little toddler.
A small house with a toddler.
Yes.
And two students.
Honestly, for us, we're not very hospitable people all the time. We'd love to think that we are, but, you know, like, oh, having a dinner party is a lot of work and all of that. And I'm not a great cook, which all of my students will attest to. I'm not. I'm really good at making macaroni and cheese sometimes. But it's this huge opportunity, I think, for us just to open our home and get to know other people and be real about it. And it's not something where we have to host them and we have to show them a good time. Like, we have just dance parties in the living room, whether or not they like it at first, because they're teenagers and most people say, oh, I don't want to look silly. No, don't worry. We're going to videotape it anyway. And my husband gets really into it, as we all do, very competitive. But it's fun, and it gets them out of that comfort zone, and that they can be real and silly and have a good time.
I love that you come from opposite ends of the spectrum. You, who were really reluctant to host a family, and you, who just couldn't wait, Heather, to have your first host student. Great perspective. So talk to me about the EF program. Let's talk a little bit about what it is, how it's structured, and how it works.
So EF, Education First, is actually part of a much, much, much larger organization, an international organization that looks at language and travel and just kind of making the world a better place in the way of learning about other cultures and learning languages. And making that kind of the center of everything. The Education Homestay Program is actually a very small nonprofit part of the whole organization that, in my mind, embraces the whole point of all of the cultural work that we're doing. Because of the fact that we're working with students and families, they're seeing a whole different side of culture and language, and just the fact that people open up their homes to a complete stranger. Mm-hmm. And want to get to know them and want to share their lives with other people. That's the part that I think Education First stands for, is the fact that we are building bridges and making connections that can't be synthesized. These are real people. All of the host families that we have had are amazing people that open their home up to a complete stranger. I mean, we get profiles of the students, but you don't know who they are, what they – I mean, I ask, you know, what do you like? Some of them, I don't like broccoli. Okay, that really doesn't do a lot for us, but we'll make sure we don't have broccoli every night. We wouldn't anyway. But but just knowing that these people, the host families that we have, are willing and able to open up their home doesn't mean you have to have this amazingly huge home, that they're just willing to share their lives with someone from around the world. And on the other end of it, these students that want to learn about not just learning English, but learning about the American culture, the American way of life, and then their families, their parents, sending them halfway across the world to live with other people. That's huge. And I think that's kind of what our whole program is based on. And the fact that we're opening doors and people are opening their hearts and we're building a community that's all the way around the world.
And what's, Heather, what is the purpose of, besides the cultural interchange for these students, what is the program's goal for these students?
The biggest goal is for them to improve their English.
Okay, so it's an immersion program for English language. They're living in the culture.
Yes, and then we also do English classes. So so every day, Monday through Friday, they go to the study center, which could be a school, could be a church. We just rent out the space. And they have about half a day, usually, of classes. And then in the afternoon, we do an activity. So we take them around the area for so they can see the area and also do different activities. We do the water park. We took them to the beach and they did surfing and I can't even think. Sometimes we're taking them to the fair. So the South County programs will go to the Santa Barbara Fair, and the North County programs will go to the Paso Fair. And just to give them an idea of what it's like here. Because sometimes they think they're going to L.A., and we're part of L.A., but we're not. You know, we're not. So we take them to L.A., we take them to San Francisco, and then we show them how different just the state is from each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I have a lot of students learn that they love San Francisco more than they love LA, but they think that they're going to love LA. So it's a whole educational component too when they come here.
You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, supported radio for the Central Coast from Monterey to Ventura County. If you just joined us, our topic today is EF. It's Education First, and it's a homestay program. In 1965, ES founder was determined to develop a method of teaching English through discovery and activity or action learning. He took a small group of Swedish junior high students to the south coast of England to live the language, encouraging them to use their classroom language skills in real life situations and to acquire authentic accents through contact with native speakers of their own age. EF language travel was born, and EF's innovative concept of action learning spread quickly. EF now offers language programs in 54 different countries on nearly every continent and is currently the world's leading education travel provider, offering students the opportunity to experience a new culture abroad, improving their language skills, and participating in a full activity program. My guests for today's show are part of that EF program here on the Central Coast. Rochelle Bollet Sutton is the Tascadero International Site Director for EF, and Heather Young, a Tascadero International Leader Program Leader. Your voice can be part of today's conversation. The show is live and we are taking calls. If you've been a student who's done a similar kind of program, or if you've been a host family, we'd love to hear from you in your comments, or if you've got questions about it too. These two ladies here are probably the perfect people to answer that. You can join our discussion by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. So how do you choose these students?
Well, we don't really choose them as far as which students come to us.
Okay, how are they chosen?
That's a good question. So we have in Education First sales offices around the world. Okay. And so they do their magic in being able to talk with different schools and have presentations over there and be able to explain to them like the opportunities that they'll be able to experience coming through this. And especially in a lot of other countries, it's great that we have our summer breaks here. But in especially in the European countries,
they're year round,
but they also value their vacations and their holidays, and they value travel, especially international travel. And so I think that helps in this entire situation. A lot of our programs here in America, we don't necessarily think to send our kids on a month-long trip.
Right.
And for the most part, they don't think twice about something like that. It's something that they were already going to do anyway. This is just another opportunity. So we do have different offices around the world that work with students and schools in helping them to understand the opportunities that are out there. And they fill out applications on their end and work with all of the visas and everything that they need to do. And we get a list of students that are coming and profiles, which are pretty amazing. They talk about, you know, each student has to do a profile for themselves of what they like to do and if they, you know, are allergic to pets or if they're really outdoorsy and would love to be in a family that, you know, can show them
backpack.
Yeah, do all of that.
Yeah, want to learn to serve.
Yes. Yeah. So they let us know, and then that's our job here locally is to find host families that would be a good match for them. So we always want to make sure there is a good match and that, you know, it's not someone that's a bookworm that is placed with a family that only wants to go hiking and do all these adventures. But at least, I mean, yes, definitely you're going to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, but finding some good matches. So that's our job. And we get a lot of profiles. And
with the students that apply, their parents need to be able to secure their travel, pay for their trips, or is that something that's underwritten by EF?
So, yeah, EF helps with all of that. So getting all of their whatever paperwork needs to happen to get them to come. And so EF supports through all of that. So it's not just it's not the parents' job to figure all of that out, but they do need to help in funding it. So some parents pay for the entire program themselves. Some students are able to get scholarships. There are different ways of being able to pay for all of the expenses that definitely go into international travel, but EF helps support all of that, every step of the way.
Is there some kind of a screening process that's done through EF of the students outside of the application? Is there some other method? I mean, is there some way of knowing student background, or is there health check, safety check?
So, yes, they have, in part of their interview process, so each student is interviewed by what we only know is the sales office. That's just, there's a lot of other people on the other end of it. But they're interviewed as well, and then they have to do their profile that talks about their family as well and a medical release. So they have to have whatever vaccinations that they need to leave, or if they've had health issues in the past, that's all documented so that we know when they're coming here, if there is anything else.
Okay. And if there's any special medical needs, you know that.
Yes, definitely know that ahead of time.
Okay. Yeah. And then, now I understand we've got a number of different places on the Central Coast that these students are placed, right?
Yes.
And talk a little bit about that.
So this summer we had three different, four educational homestay programs. So the first was a program that Rochelle and I worked with, the Tascadero International Program. So we had students for 3 and 4 weeks up in, our study center was in Paso Robles. And we just sent the last of them home yesterday.
What was that like?
It was sad. It was really sad hugging them. And even some of these students that I wasn't so sure about were giving me big hugs. And
where did, give me examples of where these students came from.
The countries?
Yeah.
Oh, so we had Russia, Sweden, Finland, France, and Italy. And so the Finns and the Italians and one group of French went home last Wednesday. And then the Russians, Swedes, and the last group of French went home yesterday. So it was very sad.
And the students stay for 2 to 3 weeks?
So it's 3 to 4 weeks for this
three
program. We do have some 2-week programs, but not usually, well, sometimes during the summer. We had some two-weekers last summer.
Okay. So these programs go year-round?
No. So, well, kind of.
Sometimes. So we have summer programs, and then we also have some winter programs.
Okay.
Where they come during their winter break. Yeah.
And that tends to be Indonesians and Chinese, and they come in the winter.
In the winter.
Yeah. There was an Indonesian group that was here over Christmas last year.
Okay.
And then so we had our program, and then we had a group for 4 weeks. They're still here, Spanish immersion students. So the immersion program is different than our program because they stay with the family, and they have two optional trips a week. So instead of going to class and activities every Monday through Friday, they're at home with their family. So it's great for somebody who has teenagers at home. Then they can go do stuff together, or families who are going traveling, like mm-hmm. camping for a week, or, you know, or in and out a lot, because we've had some families say, oh, we can't, we're going on vacation, we'd love to take them with us. Well, you can if you get an immersion student.
Right.
And then...
Otherwise, the students need to be in English class.
Yeah, in their class, because their parents are paying for them to come to the for the English class and the activities that
and
we
do. And to learn English.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Now, of course, the immersion, I mean, they're getting a lot of English because sure. they're completely immersed in it. And
right.
You know, a lot of people don't know a lot of foreign language, so they really have to speak English most right. of the time. And then another program that's going on right now is the Rio Grande International Program. And I can't remember all the countries that they have. I think she had Swedes in Spain. And so that's happening right now in Rio Grande. And then we have another program that arrives next Friday. And that's in Pismo Beach. And they're having students from Austria, Germany, China, Hong Kong, and Spain. I think I got them all.
Okay.
So and they still need some homes for some boys. For some reason, it's a little bit more difficult to place boys than girls. We have a lot because they have people who want girls,
right?
Or you know, that they're better suited to host girls,
yeah.
That want to host, but we have boys, not girls.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about where your needs are right now for students that are already coming, and where you need host families.
So we have busing from as far down as Vandenberg, like Santa Maria, Orchid, and Vandenberg, all the way up the 101 to Pismo, and then starting north from Pastor Robles all the way down 101 to Pismo Beach. So okay. anywhere between that, I mean, even if a family lives, you know, outside, if they come in to 101 to be able to drop off their student and pick them up from the bus, then that's workable.
So where is the day school that the students are they all going to the same place?
Yes, they're all going to the same place in Pismo Beach. It's going to be at Coastal Christian School on Oak Park
okay.
Road.
Okay. So regardless of whether you live in Paso Robles, Atascadero, San Luis, any of those.
Yeah, and same with, you know, Santa Maria,
right.
Orchid, and all the way on up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you have how many students to place right now?
We are down to 8 students. 6 are from Hong Kong and 2 are from... I got it wrong. 2 are from Hong Kong and 6 are from China.
Okay.
And we do have 1 female course leader. And we ideally would like her to be placed with a family up in North County
mm-hmm.
because the bus is coming from North County and we have to have a leader on the bus.
Okay.
So, and I've hosted several leaders over the year, which is fun because we've got to go pal around, go wine tasting, and sometimes they have kids.
So the course leader is an adult.
Is an adult, yes. And they do go to class and activities with the students because they're part of the staff, local, they become part of the local staff with chaperoning the students throughout
okay.
the program. And then if there's any emergency, they're able to communicate with the students in their native language.
Okay. So the course leader that you're looking for a place for, you're looking for a place for the course leader too?
Yes.
Okay. And male or female?
She's female.
Female. And adult. And she speaks English or doesn't speak English?
They all do speak English. Sometimes.
Some English.
Yes. And ideally they're fluent in English. That doesn't always happen,
okay.
but they do have an understanding of English.
Okay.
And so, and this woman in particular, she is 28 years old, and she has gone to Great Britain, to Cambridge, with EF.
Okay.
So okay. She's had experience. So she does have a grasp of
okay.
English.
Okay, so you're looking for a host family for that. Talk about the young guys. What ages?
So we do have 14. We have a cute boy. They all have their Chinese and Hong Kong names, or, you know, all Chinese names. But when they come here, they have English names. So it's really interesting seeing their Chinese names, and then they tell us that they're, you know, Charlie or, you know, Bobby. So we have, you know, a lot of 14 and 16 year olds.
Okay. All right. So 14 to 16 year olds. And what if someone said, okay, you know, I might want to do this. How would they get a hold of somebody to have further conversation about this?
They can call Rochelle or I, and I can give my phone number.
Please do.
It's 805-975-3844.
Okay. And so what would it take for someone who wants to be a host family? What do they need to do? If they've never done it before, they decide, okay, like Rochelle, I'm going to go ahead and kind of take this chance here. I'm going to take this opportunity and try it out. They fill out an application?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So give us a call, and we'll get you an application. And so on that application, it just talks a little bit about more about you. As a host family, and your family, and some questions about how your house is situated, and a little bit more about like what your family's interests are, whether or not you like to go outside and all of that. We also do reference checks as well. So you'll need to provide at least 3 references. Mm-hmm. And that's just double checking and making sure. And we also do a house check. And so the house check is where we come and, one, give you a lot more information about the program.
Okay.
But also the opportunity to see what your house looks like, because everybody's house is different. And we're not checking to see if you've mopped the floors, because I would never have been a host family. but we're looking to just see, you know, where the student would be living, or the course leader for that matter. And they can share rooms. It's not that they have to have their own private room with their own private bath. But we just want to make sure that they're in a comfortable living environment. And depending on where that might be, it does need to be attached to the home. So you can't convert your garage for this.
Right.
But definitely just making sure that they are part of your home and your family. And we go through and we help you to just navigate little instances that might be, you know, we'll look and see if you have a shower door versus a shower curtain. Because that's one of the things that we also talk with families about. You know, if you have a curtain, explain to the students that they need to put the curtain inside of the shower.
You're not prohibited if you've got a shower curtain.
No, it's just one of those things where we just like to make sure.
I was thinking, wow, I've got a curtain.
Oh, no, it's because day one you will have a flooded bathroom and just different things like that. So we just make sure, and we look at that and just where the house is. If it's a rural house, you know, making sure that we have a student that isn't allergic to all of the dust that might go along
right.
with that. But more along the lines of making sure that we have a good match for you and your family.
Yeah.
Not a screening out of, oh my gosh, you have this in your home and you can't host.
I loved your intro explanation that you were originally concerned because your house was smaller.
Yes.
You're not Susie Homemaker.
No, not even close.
I guess they should be prepared to have you serve breakfast in bed and those kinds of things.
Yeah,
and that's not expected, right?
No.
You're not expected to have somebody who's, you know, there at the house 24/7. And so working parents, if both parents are working,
yes.
as in your situation, and you're working too.
Yes.
So both of you. Leaving the students alone during the daytime?
So during the daytime, they're in program.
Right.
So that's kind of the beauty of this whole program, is that they're in school pretty much working hours.
Right.
8:30 to 5 by the time they get home on the bus. And so they won't need to be left alone. We just ask that families provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So
okay.
breakfast in the morning. In our house, it was, you know, the box of Cocoa Puffs
yeah.
and milk that was out there. And my kids were so excited.
Yeah.
And then a sack lunch so that they can take it with them. Oftentimes, there are other opportunities for them to buy lunch while they're out, too. But then also providing dinner for the students. And when I say dinner, I mean it could be not these huge extravagant meals that a lot of people like to do. In our house, we actually have a rule that when you are in our house, you have to cook one of the meals, which is perfect this time. We were hosting four students, so four of our nights were taken care of. And that's one of their things, that they get to cook a traditional meal from their home. And, you know, two of them weren't as excited because they're not great at cooking. I was like, well, neither am I. So either way, we're going to get something. And so that's just kind of the fun of it, and making it fun.
Right.
Also, in the past, we've also potlucked with other host families. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing for me our first year.
Yeah. Do you get a list of all of the students that are involved in terms of the families so that you can talk with other host families and you can get together and do some things? So that would be nice too.
We have a lot of communication around that. We had a directory in our program so that you could look up other students, other host families who might be close to you.
Right.
We also had a Facebook group for them that was a closed group, so that way they could say, hey, we're going out, you know, swimming. Does anybody want to join us? Or if we're going to the drive-in, or we're going anywhere. And that's, for me, that was a huge piece, especially our first year hosting. Mm-hmm. That was how we made some really great friends, of just always going. Well, they also were very good at cooking, so we would go there, do a barbecue. We'd bring a side dish, which was great.
So great tip, find another host family another that host loves family. To do the things that you don't.
You should tell about the story how you...
That's how we met them. So that we're really great friends now, and we tell them this story. So we actually met through hosting, and the first student that we hosted, he really wanted to watch the World Cup. It was the Germany, and I don't know who else was playing. And we don't have cable or TV, mm-hmm. and so I said, well, okay, we're going to this welcome barbecue for every host family there. Go find another family that looks like they might have TV, and we can invite ourselves over if this is what you really want to watch. And he was like, just appalled that we would even think, like, you're just going to invite yourself over to someone's house. I was like, well, do you want to watch or not? And we ended up going, and we met another family that was hosting, and they looked like they had TV. We just
casually brought it up. They have TV. They've got eyes.
They just talked about another show, and I was obviously they watch TV. And so we brought the question up of like, hey, have you guys thought about watching the World Cup tomorrow? And they're like, no, but I hear a couple of the countries that we have here are playing. Well, we should make something of it. And we ended up inviting ourselves over, and they had a party, and it was great. And we've become great friends since. And we loved it. And we went over, I mean, especially when we're hosting, we spend a lot of extra time together. But they barbecue, we bring sides, and it's great. it's really good. And especially for us, like, that friendship happened because of EF and the hosting that we were doing, but it's lasted this whole time.
Yeah.
So it's really, really neat. And so not just through hosting, we're able to open up our world here, but, you know, through meeting other families. And, you know, for us, that was huge because both of my husband and I work, and our kids are in school, and we don't always take as much time.
It's sometimes hard to socialize with people outside of work.
And you so know,
I think
really
we tend
good.
To socialize with people in work. It's great to meet other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great bond. So.
That's a great story. Yeah. I love it. You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station, 90.1 FM, San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas de Paso Robles, 89.5 FM, Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. Students traveling to California with EF are looking forward to soaking up the sun while making lifelong friendship with their host families and fellow students. The students come here in the hope of improving their English skills through language courses provided by EF and by speaking with their host families on a daily basis. As an EF host family in California, you get the chance to have a unique cultural experience, showcase your community to the world. You'll also play an important role in the students' cultural experiences abroad. Some of the most popular destinations where host families are being sought include Atascadero, Grover Beach, Lompoc, Paso Robles, Pismo Beach, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Thousand Oaks, and Ventura. All of those are in our listening area. And so if you have a place that you think you can host a student, there's still some great opportunities right now and also in the future, if you're just even thinking about it. My guests for today's show are giving us more information about EF.
in this unique program. They are Rochelle Belay Sutton, Atascadero International Site Director for EF Educational Homestay Programs, and Heather Young, Atascadero International Program Leader. Our lines are available, and we invite you to join us in today's discussion at 781-3875. You know, since you, Heather, said you just kind of put the students on the planes, kind of heading back home, talk a little bit about some of the experiences that came up with those students this year that you kind of thought, that's kind of nice.
Oh gosh, I know there are so many, and I told you I had so many stories, and now they've all they went away now. But it was just really great. The students, some learned to surf. I had a girl from Finland, mm-hmm. an 18-year-old, and she does Brazilian jiu-jitsu back home. And actually, she went to a class here in Atascadero while she was here, and then she learned to surf. And now she wants to come back and do a surf school.
Oh, great.
And so she's like, I want to go to the surf camp. So up from Scandinavia, and now she wants to be a surfer girl.
That's great. That's great. How about for you? Did you have instances? I mean, you had one, you talked about a host family. How about a situation with a student that you thought, boy, this is something I wouldn't have wanted to miss?
I was blown away with the students, though. Every year, I feel like we're extremely blessed, and, you know, we pick a student, and you never know.
It's kind of
just a looks.
Sure.
Well, I never know. And we had four this year in our house. So we have a 1,200-square-foot house, and myself and my husband and our two boys. And so we just crammed them all in. It was fun, and I actually thought it was going to be really tough, but it was fantastic. Just the relationships that my boys were able to build with these mm-hmm. students, you know, as their older brothers, and they loved it. I think one of the best moments was my little one, who's six now, who again has no concept of personal space, and he kept following around one of our students, just constantly right behind him, you know. And the student came to me, it was a little late at night, and he's like, I have a problem. I thought, oh gosh, you have a problem? What is your problem now? Oh no, it is too late for problems. And he brings me back to his room, and my little one had fallen asleep in his bed waiting for him to go to sleep. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. And he's like, is it okay if we just stay here? And I was like, yeah, you guys can share. That's okay. You know, because he didn't want to
disturb him.
And I was like, oh, that's the part. That's kind of why we do this and why we love it. And my kids love it, and we love it. And gets us out of that comfort zone.
Do they pick up any of the languages? Do they learn some phrases or some terms from some of the students?
I actually learned a little bit of Swedish and Italian this time around. Or Finnish. I tried to learn Swedish, and that's really hard. Finnish was a little easier. So I did not very much. I can say, let's go, minnan. And I won't even try to say goodnight because I butcher it. But Italian was easier. So I learned some, and then my daughter picks it up from me saying it.
That's great.
Yeah. My kids learn usually like the 1 through 5, and that's it. And
so counting.
So, yes, just the counting, and then, the hurry up. No, that's what we learn. We learn that everywhere we go. Because
hurry up.
Yes, because with that many people,
you need to be able to direct them to go. So let's go to the other side. So what happens if a host family has a student that it's just not working out? Is there some intervention that happens with EF? Or I'm assuming that happens rarely, but if it ever did, what?
Well, that's one of the things with having so many students come in, and we have so many families, that sometimes it's just not a right fit.
Yeah.
It might not be anything more than the loss in translation, basically, the communication skills. Or again, like Rochelle was saying, you know, pairing up a student who's a non-compatible family. So sometimes it's as easy as that, and we figure out, you know, do they just need some translation, so everyone understand is on the same page, or is it? Do they need to, move to another home? So we've had where we switched students with host families, and then then it's good. Then it's all good. You know, then the students and the families mesh together and it works out just fine.
If there are activities that are done, going places, for instance, getting into movies or those kinds of things, or parks, or is the host family to pay for that for the student? Do they bring their own money? How does that work?
So it kind of depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. So if a host family is inviting their student to the movies, like mm-hmm. we're all going as a family to the movies,
right?
Then the host family would be responsible for that. If the student's saying, hey, I want to go meet my friends at the movie theater, that's the student's responsibility to pay for that. So just like if you have your own teenager, you know, and you're all going to the movies or to dinner mm-hmm. or anything like that as a family, then, you know, the host family would be responsible. But we also do give them the freedom. Like I know for ours, you know, would you like to go to the movies with your friends? That's okay. We'll come pick you up, or I'm going to go see a different movie. And, you know, that's fine too. And it all kind of just depends on the situation of how it, who asked to go in that capacity. I know I wouldn't expect them to pay to go see Despicable Me when I said, nope, we're all going as a family. even though they don't want to go,
right.
We're all going. And then they loved it. It was so funny. But it just kind of depends on who's asking and if it is a family event.
Do you find that once families are host families, they tend to repeat having more other students come?
Well, this was my eighth summer hosting.
This is for you two. You've repeated, right? Is that the norm?
It depends. And sometimes there's families who want to host, but they're traveling or circumstances change. You know, I've had people whose in-laws moved in, or they decided to become foster parents, which is really great.
Interesting. Yeah.
But now their house is filled with people.
Other people,
Or they have out-of-town visitors coming, and that fills up their homes.
Right.
So a lot of my families haven't repeated because just, you know, it's summertime and they have visitors or they go places. And sometimes they're like, oh, I need a break for whatever reason. You know, sometimes people need a little bit more time than others. I just keep on going. If I wasn't going on vacation, I would be hosting in the next program myself.
So you mentioned that you, Heather, are a single mom.
Yes.
You were a single mom, and so you were able to host a family. So it doesn't have to be a couple.
No, we have retired single people. We have empty nesters, with single parents, you know, married couples. We even had a couple who's in their early 20s that hosted a course leader. And, you know, and another, a single woman who in her mid-20s that hosted a couple of students. So if there's a single person, we give them two students.
Okay.
So that way it's never...
As a maximum.
No, as a minimum.
As a minimum, you give two, so it's not just one-on-one.
Yes, yes. Okay. So it's a safety net for everyone.
Okay.
But a family can host up to four students at once.
Okay.
And up to three children of the same sex can share a room.
Okay, okay. Is there anybody that's prohibited from having a student?
So on the application, it'll be if you've ever committed a felony.
Right.
Those big red flags.
Right.
Yes, that would kind of disqualify you.
But it depends on what it is.
But it is, yes. So if it's – and that's also, I think, kind of the beauty of the program is that we look into all of that.
Yeah.
And it's not just an automatic disqualification of, oh, my gosh, this is on your record. Why? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
What was going on at the mm-hmm. time? You know, what's changed? And, you know, is there something that's completely different? And that was something that was when you were a teenager and you're now 60.
Right.
And you have completely changed your life around.
Right.
So, yes, there are some different things that we look at and that the organization looks at.
From the time of applying as a host family, about how long does it take for someone to get accepted as a host family and have a student?
Oh, depends on us.
Yeah.
As fast as possible sometimes, next day. kind of just depends on what the need is and where we are. But that's kind of the beauty of the local staff here with us doing all of that part of it.
Right.
We're able to move as fast as we need it to be.
Okay. Yeah, the closer it gets for the students to arrive, the faster we work because we need to get them placed as soon as possible.
Okay.
So there's been days where somebody's contacted me, I got their application, I went to their house, gave them the orientation, matched them with a student, you know, within hours.
And do you do background checks on the adults too?
So our head organization does the preliminary ones and okay. then lets us know, like, hey, this one was flagged. Right. And then I also do my own for our program that we did Megan's Law Check on everyone, too, just
to
make sure.
Okay.
Just that's okay. also my other arena of working in childcare. And so that's kind of one of those things.
Yeah. So you're really attentive to that. We're going to take a call from Justin. Hi, Justin. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Did you have a question or a comment, Justin, or did you want to share your experience?
Sure, I'll share. I am Rochelle's husband, and I just wanted to add that having hosted students, for us, having a pair of students, I think worked out really well because one, you know, wasn't just one student who was alone.
That's a good point.
It did help to really kind of look over student profiles and try to find those students that might be a good match for your family's interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe even looking at age and gender if needed to determine what might be the best fit for your family.
What kinds of things, Justin, do you look for? What kind of would appeal to you? You look at the application, you go, well, you know what, that sounds like a ringer here. I'm picking this one.
You know, I think. I don't know if there's any one thing. Again, we look at interests, you know, what do we like to do on a regular basis, and does this person do the same thing? Since we have two boys of our own and no girls, we tend to look for boys,
yeah,
teenage boys, because we figure that's going to be a better fit.
Uh-huh. Are you also trying to prepare yourself?
Yeah. You know, we actually look at the profile pictures.
Oh, okay. So they come with pictures too.
They do come with pictures. A photo can give you a sense of an individual's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the photos, you know, are more professional. Some are silly. Some are selfies, and, you know, some it's kind of like, I don't know if this person's parent would want other people seeing this. So, you factor that into the decision-making process, I think. And then another thing I think we look at is just how the profile is written. That can tell you as well kind of what a little bit more about them.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. It's difficult to know really until you get there.
Yeah.
But like the ladies have been saying, I think it's, you know, there's a large majority of the students are wonderful. They're,
yeah,
you know, they're nervous at first, and it's, you know, some of them have been through this before. They've traveled with their families in some capacity, and so they're familiar. But others are brand new, and, you know, and even if the ones that have, I mean, they're flying hours, you know, one way. They're dealing with another time zone,
mm-hmm.
a completely different area they're unfamiliar with. So, I mean, that can be challenging and intimidating.
Yeah.
So, you know, picking a student is, you know, it can be important, though, because you can kind of set yourself up for success and them up for success.
Right.
Like ensuring that it's someone that you can be comfortable with and create that comfort zone with so that you can really enjoy the experience, and so can they.
So did Rochelle really have to work to talk you into this, Justin?
Yeah, she did.
Did she really?
Did. Yeah.
So what was it that kind of put it over the top for you that you said, okay, we'll try this?
Well, you know, she's very persistent.
I see.
It's one of her.
So she wore you down.
One of her many good qualities. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't that you could have a dance off, right? That wasn't one of the things that sold you on it.
And well, that might have factored in later, but. But yeah, I think just the persistence and then learning more about it. I think with anything, when you don't know something, you tend to be a little more afraid of it and reserved about it. And then as you learn about it, you become more open to it.
Had you had much intercultural experience before this?
Oh gosh, none at all. Like,
okay, so this is a lot of learning for you.
I had never been out of the country, and I had been to maybe, you know, two other states. So
you're not alone in the U.S. at all. So that's great. So this has really been a cultural exchange for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And for your boys.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye. Rochelle will be home.
Okay.
So wonderful that Justin called in and kind of gave a guy's perspective of having because you're working at Capslow also.
Yes.
So, and you're working with children.
Yes.
So this kind of, even though you were reluctant about the whole housewife thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This kind of was a little bit more in your wheelhouse.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Except for them coming into my home.
Except coming into the home.
I actually also ran a family child care for a while.
Okay.
So having kids in the home, and I had to do that part. I think this was just a different piece of being real about it. So at the end of the day, and you're like, yeah, I do want to just wear my pajamas and watch TV or just watch, you know,
and not have strangers in your house. Yeah.
It's very interesting how quickly they're not strangers anymore.
Right.
Probably within a day. They are no longer strangers, and they are part of your family. And it was funny because a couple of other students asked one of my students, you know, is your host mom always like this? Because they know very quickly, especially in our house, you help carry stuff, especially now helping with the program. There's a lot of stuff to carry, so I shouldn't be carrying all of it by myself.
Right.
Or you make your own lunch. And they thought, what? You made your own lunch? You know, the other students asked, like, how come you made your own lunch? And your host mom didn't make it.
Because I live with Rochelle.
Yeah. And I was like, that's what you do. You make your own lunch. And, that's...
Mine too. Mine were real adaptable to that. When my daughter was younger, I made lunches because I made my daughter's lunch. And then I'm like, oh, no, she makes her own lunch. You make your own lunch.
Yeah.
And some families, they do that. And some, the families make their own make lunch for them.
So if you were doing a call out to host families now, Heather, where do you need families right now? Between where and where?
Past Rebels on the north and all the way down to Santa Maria Orchid, Vandenberg area. And we'll have busing along 101 to the study center in Pismo Beach.
Okay. And you've got students, male students between the ages of 14 and 16.
Yes.
Who are looking for places to stay. This host family needs to, they don't have to own their own home.
No.
Do they have to live in a home, or can it be an apartment, a condo, a townhouse?
Oh, well, that's a great question. And sometimes people tell me, I can't host because, I have a single mom with four kids, and they live in a three-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. and they host one student every summer because she has two boys and two girls. So she has a girl and that shares a room with her
two
daughters.
Girls.
She sleeps in the bottom bunk, and her daughters like to sleep together, so they sleep together in one bed, and the student gets her own bed. And I have families who live 30 minutes outside of Paso Robles on a ranch in a really large house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, all in between, from small apartments to large houses that way out in the country.
And so what is required for the family is that they fill out an application that they'd want to take in a student who is from another country.
Yes.
That they would be willing to be part of the program. Are there
family-oriented or family events that they need to participate in?
Well, we have optional. So I guess, first of all, there's we have an orientation that all
like
families...
Like a meet-and-greet thing?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They get to meet each other, they get to meet the staff, and then we tell them about the EF program in general, but then also about the specifics on the calendar, specific things we'll have happening. And then we have optional welcome bonfire. So since we live where we live, we always have our welcome parties on the beach.
Okay.
And we do a bonfire, and we almost, well, our program, we always have s'mores, because what's more American than roasting marshmallows and making s'mores?
I don't know.
So that's, and some of these kids have never had s'mores before. So we get to introduce them to the art of making s'mores. And so that's optional, and almost all the families come if they're able to. And then at the end of the program, we have the farewell party. Okay. And again, it's optional, but most families go to that, where we provide dinner, and then the students do a program. And so each country prepares one or so things. So, could be dance, songs,
skits.
Yeah. They've done speeches. And so it's all as a thank you to the families.
And this is 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks that the students are here. Yep. So it's not a full-time commitment. If the parents are going, if the family's going to be going on vacation with this group of students, they wouldn't be appropriate for taking them on vacation, because they have to be in language school, right, English.
Well, however, there are two optional trips during the program. There's a 4-day trip to L.A. and a 3-day trip to San Francisco. So sometimes it works out great where the families tells me, oh, we're going on vacation right during that trip that the student's going on.
Okay.
And so we are able to help out with, you know, if they're going to that happens to be when they're gone, and they just need a couple nights on either side, we can find, we call them foster families.
Okay.
Or it might be they do a sleepover at a friend's house.
Okay.
With another host family.
And if someone wanted to participate in this, maybe not this summer, but wanted for the future, they could fill out an application and start that process for
absolutely
the new group that's coming in. And how do they get a hold of you?
Well, so they can call Rochelle or I. So I'll give both of our phone numbers. Mine is 805-975-3844. And Rochelle's number, I've called her a lot the last 4 weeks, is 805-286-1706.
Okay. And your website?
We don't actually have a specific to...
If people wanted to look at the rest of the program or find out about it, they could go to EF.
Yes, EF.com slash EHP.
All right.
And that's the Educational Homestay Program. And so that's where you can look about everything that's going on. So we're not only here on the Central Coast, but also we have Educational Homestay Programs in Bakersfield, Sacramento, Monterey County, in Florida. They're all over.
All over the place.
But yeah, you can see a little bit more about the whole program.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have an interest in being a host family, finding out more, please do call. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Rochelle Bollet Sutton, Atascadero International Site Director for the EF Education Homestay Program, and Heather Young, Atascadero International Program Leader. Next week, join your host, Fred Monroe. Great topic. He's going to be talking about how to avoid fires. And we'll be appreciated if you want to send in suggestions for future shows, voices@kcbx. You've been listening to Central Coast Voices, sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us.